When my wife was having babies, no one knew what kind of baby we were going to have. That's only a few years ago. Anyway, it feels like a few years ago. There are a lot of old wives' tales. I remember some of the girls took a needle and stuck it into a pop bottle cork or something and went over her wrist and, oh, yeah, he's going to be a girl. Every one of the girls, they weren't girls. They're all boys, amen. And the heartbeat, if it's fast, you know, it's going to be a girl. The slower, it's going to be a boy. All mine were fast. All mine were boys. And I'll tell you, there ain't a sissy in among them, amen. But today, in our age, people ask the expectant parent, do you want to know what your baby's going to be? That's interesting, amen. Throughout the Bible, God gives us some very interesting insights here. And many times the Lord says, you're going to have a baby boy. And throughout the Scriptures, the Scripture teaches us, gives us those things from the Word of God. A few years ago when Marcia and I were down in Greenville, South Carolina, we took Sarah and Corey with us. Well, they took us with us to her appointment, and it was for little baby before she was born, and we went in and she was going to have an ultrasound, and they're going to find out what kind of baby they're going to have, amen. And to be very honest with you, I'm just really glad to stay out in the office, in the area. You know, I don't need to be in there. I'm just happy about it. And I get kind of, I just don't feel comfortable. With my wife, hey, okay, but anybody else, sorry. And I think that's the way it ought to be, but anyway. And they were going to do this ultrasound to see how the baby was progressing properly because she had diabetes and a lot of things going on. Well, it was my assignment, mind you, to sit in the waiting room and with my youngest grandson at that time, John Sheldon. And I accepted the assignment, not realizing it was going to be such a challenge. And I had forgotten the mission was to entertain the very active, gifted, and may I say brilliant, without any bias, of course, four-year-old in a very, very busy doctor's office. 2 minutes after Mommy and my wife and Corey went into the examination room, I had read every book in his backpack. 2 minutes. I had played every toy in his, he had played with every toy in his backpack. He had colored every picture in his color book. 2 minutes. Then, back to his backpack, and he pulled out a soft Nerf sponge ball, which he began to bounce. Later, I found out that he had smuggled it in. Not realizing why he smuggled it in, but after I was there for a couple minutes, I understand why he smuggled it in. Looking at the ball, which at the time looked very harmless and innocent, he started bouncing it. Then, without warning, he bounced it off the wall. And observing some very beautiful pictures on the wall, I suggested that maybe he should play catch with me. With a smile on his face and fire in his eyes, he wound up like a major league pitcher and fired that thing at me, about knocked me over with the stupid thing. Not bad, I thought to myself. This guy's got potential. He has got good speed, good control. Not bad. He's a natural. Well, life is good. I mean, really good. That is, this is the greatest day of my life. He's enjoying playing ball with me until the wild pitch. The fastball glanced off my imaginary mitt, bounced off the wall, hit the back of a head of a young expectant mother waiting to see her doctor. Fortunately, she smiled and seemed very fascinated and amused at the little baseball player with all his antics, and mentioned under her breath with a smile, I'm going to have a little baby girl. After 5 more seconds, the ball throwing, he got tired and laid on the floor and looking up to the ceiling, very loudly said, "Papa, where's my mom?" Again, "Papa, where's my mom?" And I said, "John, she'll be out here real soon." Again, looking up to the ceiling, he says, "I want my mom." And pointing to the door that his mother went in, as it seemed 4 months ago, he said, "Papa, I'm going in that room and get my mom. Papa, I want my mom. Papa, when is my mom coming out?" Finally, after a million more questions, his mother appeared, and she smiled at him like no other mother could smile. He turned and ran and hugged her leg. He was so happy. I wanted to go run and hug her legs. He was there. Amen. Those in the waiting room were very disappointed because we were leaving and they were losing their free entertainment at my expense. Then Mama said in the waiting room, with the sweetness that a mother could say, "John, I want to tell you something. You are going to have a baby sister." He responded, "Ew! Sisters are so fussed waiting." Then he goes over to the corner of the room and with great aspiration says, "Whatever." And we left, thank God, amen. Babies are wonderful things. I'm amazed about the scriptures, how that Jesus, many people brought their babies to Jesus. I think I would want to do that. In fact, we did when my wife and I found out that she was going to have a child, our first child. We came home and got down by the bed and we promised to raise him for the Lord. We completely dedicated. We said, "Lord, whatever you want. You, Lord, you want to take him, you can take him. If you want him to serve you, he can serve you. But whatever, Lord God, we want your perfect will in this baby's life." I think every parent ought to do that. If you haven't done it yet, I'd do it. Because when the troubles come and the heartaches come and the things that happen in our lives and the dangers that come in our life, and I'll guarantee you, with raising 3 boys, we had a lot of dangers. We used to have this saying, "If you ain't scared, you ain't having fun." We had a lot of fun. But the thought that when you place your child in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have confidence that the Lord God will do His best to do what He's supposed to do with them. I know some folks that are very stingy with their babies, stingy with their children of God. Years ago, there was a story told about a lady that had a little baby. She loved this little baby, and all of a sudden, the little baby got sick. Very sick. Had to take her to the hospital. The doctor says, "I don't think she's going to make it." And her mother went outside and raised her fist to God and says, "If you don't keep my baby alive, I'll never serve you again." Somehow, miraculously, the baby made it. But at the age of 15, the little girl was a drug addict. She was a prostitute. And she brought great shame to her church, and her life, and was killed in a tragic car accident. What's wrong with heaven? I'd rather that God take care of things than I take care of things, because I don't take care of things very good. Lord, here's my children. Here's my children. The other day, I want you to pray for Wyatt. Had a seizure. We don't know what's going on with him. They're down and down hunting right now, and they're witnessing to their guide today. But anyway, we don't know what's going on with him. Lord knows. They've given him to the Lord. I've given him to the Lord. You say, "Aren't you scared?" Why should I be scared? God is in control. I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor principality nor power nor things present nor things on earth shall separate me from the love of God. which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have the confidence in my God. I've seen him work very times. I ride around that crazy deputy's cars and go talk to them and be like that, and there's many of them pretty jumpy. And they say to me, he said, Chaplain, why does this not bother you? I said, it bothers me. But I've got a God that makes no mistakes. And that'll change your life. A lot of people with post-traumatic stress disorder and things like that, the problem they have is that they can't trust the Lord. They don't believe that God's going to take care of them. There's a lot of guys out there who've been through a lot more than some of these guys that just gets them. And when you realize that God has placed us in a certain place to do a certain job, and things are going to happen. Every one of us have problems. We must trust the Lord in it. We have to trust the Lord in it. And we must give our children to God. I've always been amused by the number of the Babel stories in the Bible, and how that the parents were told the gender of their child before it was born. When Ishmael was born, Hagar, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard of thy afflictions. When Isaac was going to be born, Sarai was told that she would have a son, Genesis chapter 16, 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, you shall bear a son. And I missed that scripture, it's in there though. when Samson was going to be born, his mother was told, very interesting, if you need to study the scripture on Samson. God came to his mother, didn't come to his father. And it's very interesting. Very interesting. We have internet, and you guys, this shouldn't happen while I'm preaching. But Cecil and Melissa just sent me a picture of their baby. Oh, hey, take it easy, folks. Can you see it? I can't even see it. Hey, you're pretty good. There we go. I'll tell you what, I get a lot of things up here. You don't even know it. Now if I can get back to where I was preaching here. Okay, there we are. And a lot of times people don't understand that Samson's mother was told everything. This is how you're supposed to raise this child. And her husband said, "What?" And the angel said, "You ask your wife." I'm telling you, some of you guys miss out on the things of God because you're not serving God. And then when the important time comes in your life, God has to talk to your wife, not to you. God have mercy on our souls, amen. Well, I didn't going to preach on that, but I thought I'd just help myself a little bit. The Bible says in Judges chapter 13, verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Hannah. I love the story of Hannah. I just love the story of Hannah. My wife and I, many times in the morning, she gets up and I get her all everything done, medicines and everything, and she'll go back and take a nap. Well, I always plug in the Bible and let her listen to the Bible. And we start with Ruth. Every morning, she starts off with Ruth. And then it'll get into 1 Samuel, and then you hear about Hannah. Hannah must have been a wonderful lady. Boy, she was plagued. I'll tell you what, her husband had another wife, and she wasn't very nice to her. She was mean to her. And always throwing things in her face. She said, yeah, you're barren. And I like what Hannah's husband said. Man, aren't I better than 10 boys, 10 babies? No. So that shows you where we're at, guys. I'll tell you right there. First 1 Samuel 1:11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Let me ask you, let me tell you something. If you're out here today and you say, Dear God, I promise you, you give us a baby, we'll give him to you. You better keep that. You better keep that. You've heard the story when I was back in 1947. There's a farmer and his wife, they're going to have a baby. And on the January the 20th, put that down in the back of your Bible, January 20th, 1947, a little boy was born. His name, Sheldon Clare Shearer. Had an older sister named Sharon, 3 years older than I was. My mother was 4'11". Just a skinny little thing. And she bore a son that was 9 pounds, 6.5 ounces. Hello, world! And when I was born, something happened. I was a blue baby. And they said my lips were blue, my features were blue, my little fingers were blue. And they said that they could hear the malfunction of my heart, the murmur of my heart without a stethoscope. They could hear it. And the doctor came in and talked to my mom and dad and says, no. And they put me right immediately in an incubator with oxygen. And they said, your son, we have a problem. It wasn't your fault, but it's just one of those things that happened. And your son is what they call a blue baby. And he'll live 7, maybe 12 years. That's about all you get. And my dad just walked out. He didn't know what to say. And he was so excited about getting a farm boy. You know, when you got a farm, you got to have a farm boy, amen? He's the one that says, hey, run, get this, go do that, hello, there, you know, go, you know. And the doctor said that he walked by my mother's room. He told me this when I was 19 years old. He said, walk by your mother's room. And he said, I noticed your mama was had her Bible in her lap and she was praying. He said, I went by that incubator and couldn't believe it. You were healed. He said, there's no reason why it should have happened. Some reason why, we don't understand, but you just came out of it. And he says, all I can tell you, now remember, this is an atheist doctor. He said, all I can test is that Bible and your mama praying. He told that to me and my buddy that was driving ambulance and a couple other doctors standing around. One time we came in the hospital and we just delivered a victim. And he says, is that you, Sheldon? I said, yes, sir. Talk. I said, how are you? Dr. Miles was his name. And he said, come here. And, of course, when we went to the hospital, the emergency room, there was one reason we stayed around a little bit. We were looking to meet the nurses. That was before Marcia. And right in front of everybody, he unbuttoned my emergency suit and put that stethoscope, and he had about 4 or 5 different doctors check my heart. So listen to that. And I was playing football at that time, and my heartbeat was about 41. It was just, it was an amazing, now it's about 481. But anyway, it's amazing what God does. And he said, I don't know how to explain it. Isn't it amazing that how that God answered our prayer? My mother said, and I didn't know this until I became a pastor and I was licensed to preach. She said, I'm going to tell you something now. When you were born, I told God that I'd raise you to be a missionary or a preacher. That I'd give you a full-time service. She never told me that. I'm glad she didn't. Because I'll tell you what, when I became the pastor of the first church, I had no idea what I got myself into, amen. I never knew. She got, don't trifle with God. Don't mess with him. When you tell him you're going to do something, you better do it, amen. And you promise God you're going to raise those children for him. My mother believed that God had called her to be a missionary, but it didn't work out. Just seems like it didn't. But she, in fact, when I turned 22 years old, realized that I was going to be the one called to the ministry, not her. And what a blessing. What a blessing to my mother. Hannah. And then I think of in the city of Shushan, and lived a great woman. She was very kind to the prophet Elisha. And she had a prophet chamber built for him so that he could stay when he was going through the area. And he could stop in and rest and be refreshed. And because of her kindness, the prophet wanted to do something nice for her. He said that she would have a son. You find that story over in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning verse 4. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and said unto him, say unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for the king or the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then should be done for her? And Gehazi, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. When he had called her, he stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Hey, don't get my hopes up. Don't lie to me. I love taking care of boy. Can you imagine? Here is a lady that took care of the preacher. Gave him food and rest. Gave him a place to stay. All they had was a table and a lamp and a bed for him to sleep on. Much. Man don't have to have much, amen. And said, don't lie to me. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to time of life. Pretty neat, eh? I love these stories about these babies. John the Baptist's father and mother were wonderful people. And one day God promised them that they'd have a son. Whoopie-doo-dee. I'm telling you what, were they happy, amen. He got so happy he couldn't even shut my mouth, and it happened, amen. He couldn't stop. And so we see the scripture teaching us that. I think of the angel of the Lord coming to a young virgin girl that was espoused to a carpenter named Joseph. She was told that she's going to have a son. And she was to call his name Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I am so glad of that day, for I have a Savior who's with me. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Not God about us, though he is. Not God around us, though he is, but God with us. Aren't you glad when the troubles come and the heartaches come, there's a God that loves you and cares for you and personally loves you? I hope tonight that you would consider the things that have been said tonight, that God would certainly get a hold of your heart and your life. especially you young families that are just starting out, or young families that are just going. How appropriate tonight when Cecil sent me that picture, the little baby born, amen. And praise the Lord. Most of you had children. Some have not. I say to those that have not, get busy helping those that do. It's a lot of work taking care of children. Had a family in our church years ago, the Tolley family. They couldn't have children. Something happened. They got two now. But anyway, they couldn't have children, and so they started to fuss about it. I mean, fuss about it. How many remember them fussing about it? Sure, some of you folks. Marcia raised his hand. I told him, I said, quit your fussing about it. I said, if you want children, why don't you just grab a couple children from somebody else's family and just take them home and see if you really want kids in your house. Start cleaning their, you know, start changing their filters, amen, and start feeding them and clean up for them and see how well you like it. And they did. They took on my son's children. He had six of them, and they did the washing and ironing, and I mean to tell you, you do that for one kid, do it for six kids, amen. And boy, they just had a time with them. Just had a time with them. And boy, my son is pretty tickled about what was going on, amen, helping out. Some of you just need to adopt some people. I seen a family this morning. She just had two more foster kids come into her home. I thought, oh man, good night. More work. But you ought to just, some of you guys talk about getting married someday. Once you find out what it is to have a couple little kids around you, amen, and tag them around to you. Some of you, if you don't have kids, you grab them. She say, hey, can I take kids? I'll guarantee you, this is what the parents said, please. That good preaching?
That's good
preaching. Brother, when an assistant says that's good preaching, you know it's good preaching, amen. Just grab them. Some of you grandparents, just grab them grandkids. Be with them for a while, amen. Give mom a break, amen. And but we as Christians understand that there's a wonderful thing about family. It's a wonderful thing about having family. And family around you. And sometimes we don't have family. And so you need to get some family. You need to just plan on grabbing a couple kids. Some of you grandmas, your children are away from you. Well, then grab somebody else's kids. Pretend you're the grandma. And take care of them. Take them to McDonald's, amen. Take them to Walmart and let them turn them loose, amen. See how well you like kids, amen. And just do some things with them. Take them out. Take them, just be with them a little bit. Help the parents out, amen. We're family, amen. So I hope that you be like Jesus. Jesus was so happy. You remember the disciples? Oh, don't bother the Lord. He's so busy. And Jesus says, shut up. That's in the Greek, of course. Shut up. Bring those little children to me. They were precious in his sight. I like the words that he touched them. I saw Marcus this morning, rubbed his old head. One of the kids this morning, I said, hey, buddy, how are you? Put my hand out, and he goes, I rubbed his head. Kids are something else, amen? Be around them. Love them. Be careful with them. If you promise God, you better keep up your promise. Keep your promises to God. Keep your promises to God. Don't let them be alone. I was just reading the Bible the other day, and in Proverbs it says, a child left to his own brings shame to his mother. Boy, I'm telling you, we live in a wicked, wicked world. Don't you let your child be alone. you make sure you're around them, amen. Make sure you're around them, supervising them all the time. You said they have to have space. Not my house. I'll knock them into space. I'll play Angry Bird with them, amen. No, that's not what God said. God said you're supposed to be with them. You're supposed to be training them. You're supposed to be teaching them. When they get up, you're supposed to teach them the Word of God. When they're in bed, you're supposed to teach them the Word of God. When you're walking in the way, you're supposed to teach them the Word of God. You're supposed to put on your doorpost scripture verses so they read them. Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, amen. Father, I pray you'd bless us tonight. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for the promise of heaven. And thank you most of all that you came to this world so that we could have you as our Savior. Lord, I pray that anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved, dear God, I pray that you just, tonight would be that time in their life they realize they need a God. They need a Savior to save them from their wretched sins. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're here tonight, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I want to know that. My friend, will you please come to Jesus tonight? Why don't you right there where you're sitting, just pray and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross, rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save my soul. It is so simple, but so mighty. You heard tonight say, preacher, I prayed that prayer tonight. Would you lift your hand to me? Let me thank God for you. Father, now speak to our hearts. We have this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.